Hey everyone, this is Josh from Solopreneur Grind, and I am here with Logan Alec, a blogger from moneydoneright.com. Logan, really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Great to be here.
Awesome. Logan, so I'm really interested for this episode for a few reasons I was mentioning off air, but for those who have not heard of you or have not heard of the blog, can you tell us a little bit about you, what you're working on, and even a little bit about how you got started?
Sure. So for almost 10 years, I was a tax professional, tax consultant to big businesses, helping them save money on their taxes and in other ways. Somewhere along the line, I became more passionate about helping everyday people with their finances. So I kind of became a go-to person just in my friend circles when it came to managing money, how to start investing, money saving tips and tricks, things like that. So eventually I decided to put these thoughts I had on money on the internet, of course. So in February 2017, I started a personal finance blog, which was at that time called millennialmoneyclub.com. This blog didn't do so well. I didn't really get very many followers or readers. I struggled on social media. Just the blog itself didn't look that great. So five months later, in that July, I scrapped that blog, rebranded everything to a site called moneydoneright.com to kind of pick up the pieces of what I learned from that blog that failed, and create a blog that people would actually want to visit. And build a brand around it. So I had to hustle really hard to get that thing going, because at the time I was still at my job as a full-time accountant, tax professional. And as anyone in the world who does taxes or is a tax professional, you know that there are times of the year where it's extremely busy. And I had a long commute and everything, doing the corporate thing while working on the blog. Nights, weekends, just whenever I could. Within 6 months, the blog was netting an amount that was almost as much as I was making from my full-time job. So, at that point I was like, wow, what do I do here? Should I just run with this thing? But that's kind of scary. I was thinking about, supplementing the blog income with, kind of my own accounting practice. Anyway, long story short, the following March, I quit my job full-time to be a full-time solopreneur, to kind of supplement the blog income. I did some tax returns and things like that, for people who found me mostly through my blog. And, so I was able to just support, myself just through my entrepreneurial activities. Since then, I'm coming up on the 1 year mark of having quit my job. I've been able to scale the blog immensely, build out a team, and I'm looking to scale even more in 2019.
Wow, that's a really cool story. There's a lot I want to unpack from that. My first question, Logan, is what do you think it was that didn't work for the first blog that you tried, and what was the difference with the second time around?
That first blog, looking back at it now, it's obvious that no one would want to read it. It didn't look good. I was anonymous, so I noticed that in my space, a lot of people like stories that they can relate to. So, I was kind of afraid that, my boss or my, my company would find out about the blog and not be too happy about it. And so I kept myself anonymous, right? So people didn't really feel like they could relate to me and my financial struggles and things like that. But with the second blog, I was very open about my story. I said, I graduated from college. I had, some student debt, and, I didn't really have any, money, and they didn't have a car. And so I had to take the bus, and it was, kind of sketchy sometimes, because my first job out of college it was in a city called Long Beach here in California. And there's some pretty, seedy parts of that town. So, anyway, I started sharing my story more with the second blog, the one that was really successful. And I think people resonated with that more than simply just some anonymous voice online pontificating about various financial topics.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like that authenticity is so important too. So how did you decide to even get into blogging, right? Because you're working full time. I'm sure, especially like you said, at certain times of the year, very, very time consuming, stressful. What was it that made you pick blogging, especially because there's so many mediums out there now? You know, you could do video, you could do audio, you could do written word. What was it about blogging that kind of took your appeal?
I've always liked writing. And I felt that I always had kind of a knack for it, not, you know, in a super professional way, but, you know, I just always enjoyed writing and I've always found it to be the easiest way for me to express myself. So it seemed like a natural fit.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people overthink that kind of stuff, right? Because there are so many options. I mean, even just within writing, you could do short form on Twitter, you could do long form on a blog. And what a lot of people might overthink is, you know, which one or two or three platforms should I use? Whereas sometimes it's just as simple as what are you most comfortable and best at doing and just kind of run with that and see what happens. You know, so like not overthinking it and taking action. And so once you decided on a blog, how did you get started? Did you have any knowledge on how to start one, what resources to use? I know, you know, you use Bluehost because I was looking through the website. I've used Bluehost as well. How did you know to start with them? Did you have someone build the first website? You know, just kind of the technical side of things.
Well, you know, I used Google and YouTube a lot. There's a lot of stuff you can learn on there just about, you know, how to, from that technical aspect. And, you know, the tools these days like Bluehost and WordPress, they actually make it relatively painless to get a blog and set it up on the internet. So, you know, I watched a lot of tutorial videos and, you know, I Googled a lot of things and, yeah, I didn't really have anyone set it up for me. I just kind of DIY'd it, so to speak. And, you know, that first blog didn't look too great, right? Cause it was the first go around and I was an amateur, but, you know, the second blog I actually invested in like a professional looking blog theme, instead of kind of the free ones that just came with WordPress. And, you know, I think that really helped just make the site look a little bit more attractive for readers. But yeah, I basically did it all myself, you know, initially.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially with all those resources out there. Great. So you get the second blog up and going and like you decide I'm going to be a little bit more authentic. I'm going to be more clear about what my story is. Can you take us through, you said within the first 6 months, which sounds pretty crazy to me, that you were able to generate so much income, even just income in general is, you know, in the 3 or 4 or 5 figures within 6 months is pretty impressive. How did you, like, what was your action plan with that second version of the blog in terms of, I know you kind of covered the being honest and open about your story, but how did you approach, you know, the other content? What were you posting about? Did you have a schedule? Were you still doing it all yourself? Were you using a designer or anything like that?
So I did continue to write all the content myself, and I focused on really in-depth, you know, long-form content, and kind of in the, because I knew that this kind of content, Google loves it, right? Google loves great content where people will, you know, stay on the page and keep reading and reading and then click over to other resources on your site. So my long-term, you know, view was just to create, you know, this awesome long-term content with the goal of not only helping people, but also ranking in Google for certain key terms. In the short term, to get traffic to the site, I had to focus on social media, right? Google's not going to find you and start ranking your stuff overnight. You need to kind of kickstart your growth by using social media. And the platform that I found that worked best for my blog, believe it or not, was Pinterest. Although I was never a native Pinterest user, I mean, my wife used it, so I kind of knew what it was, but I always just associated it with, you know, recipes or hairdos, wedding or interior decorating ideas and things like that. Never really thought that I could use it in a business, but, I read about other personal finance bloggers just having immense success and just having driving a lot of pretty much free traffic to their blog using Pinterest. And so that's what I did. And that was my number one traffic source.
Wow.
For the first, I mean, that's what took me to, creating a five-figure monthly blog. And, eventually, Google surpassed that. Just in the long term, but right. Initially Pinterest was so key to getting those first to getting it off the ground.
Right. Can you go into a little more detail on Pinterest and your strategies? Because I've used Facebook, I use YouTube, I use Instagram. I don't even know if I've been on Pinterest, the website, more than twice, and I don't even really know what it is. So I would, from a personal standpoint, love to know kind of a little more about the platform and how you used it. Cause like you, I wouldn't have thought it would be a good source of traffic for, money or business type industries.
Yeah. So I think what people, the first thing they should know about Pinterest is that it is a search and discovery platform more than it is a social media platform. So people go to Pinterest and to look for ideas of who they want to be. It's an aspirational platform, right? So right. They're on there with the express intent of looking for content that can help them get to be to where they want to, where they want to be for, an engaged bride to be. That could be the perfect hairdo that she wants for her wedding, for, somebody who loves cooking, that could be, finding an awesome recipe, to make for dinner tonight or something like that. But, obviously people have financial aspirations too. So there are plenty of people on Pinterest who are looking for ways to save money, to make extra money, to side hustle for business ideas and things like that. And how it works is, it's kind of hard to explain this without a visual, but, there are on Pinterest, everybody has a set of what are called Pinterest boards. And these boards are basically categories for content that they find on Pinterest that they like, so they can save them and reference them later on. So, an individual Pinterest user, just to go off the examples, might have a wedding board, right? Ideas for their wedding. They might have a recipes board where they see great content on Pinterest relating to, wedding stuff, they can pin it there. Parenting, if they see some great content on Pinterest with parenting tips, they can pin it to their parenting board. And, lots of people have a finances board because that's a part of everybody's life. And so if they see, some great content on Pinterest related to finances, they'll pin it to that board and their followers can see it. And anyone who comes across their profile can see what they've pinned. And so that's where the organic growth comes in. Another great thing about Pinterest is it's not really social. You don't really talk to people on Pinterest. So there's not this, outrage you see on Twitter, and there's not this lengthy discussions with hundreds of political comments you see on Facebook. People just go on there to consume content. As a content creator, that's where I wanted to be.
Right. And it's mostly visuals?
Yeah, it is visual. So when I say that people find content on Pinterest, they're looking at these things called pins, which are basically long vertical images that content creators create and upload to the platform. And when people click on that Pinterest pin, so example, the Pinterest pin, one of mine might say, 31 best passive income ideas for 2019 or something like that, with a great visual, a successful person or couple there, very aspirational, right? People look at it, man, I want to be like that couple. I want to be rolling in passive income, right? And they pin it to their Pinterest board, and if they click that image, or if any of their followers or anyone else who sees that image, click that image, taking to my blog post about the 31 best passive income ideas. So that's how it works. So Pinterest is very visual. It's like a visual search engine. Almost. I mean, in my opinion, it's closer to Google than it is to, Facebook or something like that, because people they're often searching for things and the search results are very visual.
Right. So how did that affect your content creation? Because obviously you were writing long form blog posts. Does that mean you would then create a visual for each one, kind of focusing on, I guess, maybe the title and some of the key points and turning that into a visual?
Exactly. Yeah. Now with personal finance, it's not a super visual niche, right? Like food bloggers, right? They just post a picture of their latest recipe, or travel bloggers, they post a picture of these beautiful places around the world. But with finance, it's not so, you know, you can't just put a picture of money on the pin. I mean, so what you do is you kind of, you look for like happy people, or people who looks, who, you know, might evoke an emotion of, you know, they're doing well in life, right? Not, I don't mean that they look super rich, but just smiling people, happy people. They might be holding money. You know, they're dressing well. You know, so that's one way to go about it. And then you'll put the words on the Pinterest pin. It doesn't have to match the title of your blog post. You know, exactly. But people don't want to be misled. You know, and if you aren't, if you're saying like, you know, back in the day, like there would be these Pinterest pins that are like, how you can make, you know, $1,000 today, you know, from home or something like that. And, you know, Pinterest, you know, those, if the Pinterest algorithm is working correctly, those will be demoted in the algorithm, because Pinterest, you know, people aren't repaying this content because they think it's no good. So, you know, there's kind of a balance between making the wording on the pin, you know, very enticing, but then also not, you know, misleading people. You know, so like with passive income, right, it could be, you know, 31 ways to make money in your sleep, or something like that, you know. It's kind of enticing, kind of interesting if someone hasn't heard that phraseology before. But then, you know, they click to the site, it's about passive income ideas, and, you know, you kind of explain, well, these are, you know, ways that you can make money without working. You can, you know, while you're sleeping, your investments are working for you. While you're traveling, your investments are working for you. So you kind of want to look for a creative angle. And, you know, part of the fun of it was taking these financial concepts and, you know, trying to make them fun and enticing on a platform like Pinterest. Another thing to know about Pinterest is, at the time, and it still is, although not so much now, but it was very, you know, most of the audience were women. So I had to kind of think think about, you know, how to incorporate that into the content that I was creating. Now my site, it's more, you know, 50-50 in terms of audience. But in the beginning, because so much of my, my traffic came from Pinterest, you know, I had to create some, you know,
female-centric.
Exactly. Like, yeah, you know, visuals. Ways for stay-at-home moms to make money from home or something like that.
Right.
And, you know, visuals would usually feature a woman.
Right.
More than a man.
Right. Very, very cool. So, I mean, it sounds like what it boils down to, and a lot of times, like I mentioned before, people can kind of make this stuff a little more difficult than it needs to be. You were writing what I would describe as quality long-form blog posts, and then you were driving traffic using the medium Pinterest. Can you talk a little bit about, especially for those first 6 months, what was your kind of like how much content were you producing a week? Were you doing one post a week, two a month, you know, and then how many, like, Pinterest, is it a Pinterest pin or a Pinterest post per week? Or if you can talk a little bit more, just to give us an idea of, I mean, the work that it took to get to that level so quickly.
Oh man. I mean, I was probably producing at least a blog post once every couple of days, at least.
Oh, wow. And yours aren't short either, because I have looked at a few, especially some of the headlines jumped out at me. I mean, I love finance too.
Yeah.
But these are not like short, you know, they're not only are they long, they're formatted well, you know, you use bolding creatively and visuals. So sorry to cut you off, but I just wanted to give people an idea of the, like, this isn't just a 500 word blog post.
Yeah. So, you know, the space, you know, personal finance space, and really so many niches or verticals, whatever you want to say. I mean, the fact of the matter is there's so much content out there online in 2019. I don't know the statistic, but it's some insane number of pieces of content are being produced today. And so you really want to stand out, really want to give something that's, you know, that's interesting, that's well-written, that they would, you know, want to read, that's formatted nicely to keep, you know, your people on the page and to make them dedicated readers. So yeah, I was producing a lot of content. I took the train to work. So, and, you know, I got to the train station early just to make sure that I could, get a seat with a table or so, because in the train from my town to downtown Los Angeles, some of the seats, you know, most of the seats don't have a table. So I would get to the train station early to make sure I could get to a table with an outlet there, so I can, you know, work on the blog. You know, if I ever had any downtime at work, you know, I'd be working on the blog. I didn't really, you know, have much of a social life at the time because I was always just, you know, working at it. You know, my wife complained that I was working too much, you know, which was probably true. And so just creating all that content. And whenever I create a piece of content, I would also create a Pinterest pin in a free graphic design software, like Canva is what I used. And, you know, obviously didn't really have a graphic design background either, but just kind of reverse engineering other people's you know, Pinterest pins, what's working for them, kind of just breaking it down. Okay, they got some stock image, and then they put this text on there, then they put the box around the text, and then, okay, it's good enough. You know, so I think just when people are first starting, it's just not, you know, just don't freak out that you don't know all the things and you aren't like a quote-unquote professional at graphic design or at content creation. I mean, obviously you got to know your craft and your skill at a professional level, but in terms of, you know, kind of the peripheral stuff, sometimes you just got to look what's working for others and just, you know, try to make it work for yourself.
Right. Yeah. That makes so much sense. And there's so many of these free tools online. I use Canva as well. Like, design is just probably at the bottom of my list of strengths. What would you say? 'Cause one thing I talk about with a lot of people who are kind of getting started is like the trade-off between making something quote unquote perfect or just kind of quote unquote good enough and getting it out there. Because like you mentioned, you were working with Canva to create this pins. It's something you'd never really done before. It's not a pure strength. Were you spending hours and hours on each one, or was it just kind of a, let's get it to a certain level and then focus on your strengths, which might've been, you know, writing more blog posts per se?
I didn't know at first, but after just a period of testing, I figured out what worked. And I kind of saw, okay, there are some, let's say graphic design, for example, there are some pins in Canva that I spent an hour on making, right? Just to kind of get everything perfect and everything aligned. And you know, it's an amateur graphic design tool. It's not going to have the super functionality of, you know, professional tools. So, you know, I was kind of spinning my wheels a lot, just trying to make it look perfect and get everything aligned and, you know, going back and forth on the fonts. And, right. And then there were other pins where I just, Pinterest pins were, you know, I just kind of threw it together. And I, to be honest, I didn't really, at my level, right? Amateur graphic designer, me trying to make something look good or just putting something out there. There wasn't really a detectable difference in the performance. Those two things. Now I have like a professional graphic designer who makes the pins, and you know, there's obviously hers outperform, you know, any of mine. But for me, because I was such an amateur, I just kind of had to put it out there. And you know, if I did see that the ones that I spent, took a lot of time on, that looked, you know, marginally better, did outperform, then I would probably, you know, have spent a little bit more time. But, you know, I found that just through testing that it really didn't matter in that specific case. I don't think there's a one size fits all, you know, answer kind of on that spectrum between just get something out there and, you know, making it perfect. But I think you just really gotta test. And is it a good ROI on your time to have that kind of perfectionistic mindset?
Right. Very cool. So I want to talk a little bit about the monetization side of things, because the content is awesome. So you're writing blogs, you're creating content, social media content. From the beginning, I mean, is most of the monetization through affiliate income? That would be my first guess based on my observation of the blog. How did you kind of approach monetization? How are you monetizing the blog, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the vast majority of the site's revenue is from affiliate income, meaning I partner with a specific brand or company. They give me a unique link that's just unique to me, to my site, Money Done Right. And I place that link strategically in various articles on the site. And when people click that link, and you know, the compensation structure depends on the company, but it could be, you know, when they give their email address and they opt into the email list, you know, I'll get $30. Or it could be, you know, when they actually purchase some product, I'll get, you know, a 35% commission or something like that. So, you know, I have this tracking link that's used to communicate to these brands. Okay. You know, moneydoneright.com sent this traffic, and, you know, Money Done Right should get a share of the revenue, or, you know, a payment on every lead they send. And so that's affiliate marketing in a nutshell. You have your affiliate links, you drive traffic to them, and you get commissions based on performance. There's a little bit of ads. If you look on the site, like on a laptop, you'll see kind of in the sidebar, there might be some display ads there. That's a very small, part of our revenue. It's just, I find in the finance niche, it's the money you'll make per visitor is a lot more with strategically placed affiliate links than merely with display ads. For a food blogger, that may not be the case. Food bloggers are heavily dependent on those kinds of display ad units that you see across the site, because there's not a whole lot of affiliate programs, you know, that, you know, if someone's going to a site and looking for a recipe, they're not going to click through to some link to go buy a new, you know, pot and pan set. Right. So, right. You know, it kind of depends on the niche, but so for like food and recipe bloggers, they're heavily dependent on, those display ads where, you know, Google or someone, you know, they have the user data and they're displaying to you some ad that's based on your interests. Right. So,
right.
There's also sponsored posts, which is where I get a flat fee for writing a post about a particular brand. There's no really performance concept there. So they might pay, a few thousand dollars just to have a placement on the site. And then, okay, well, if I create a YouTube video for you, it's also this. And then, you know, if I'm going to send an email blast to my audience, you know, that's an extra fee. And so, you know, there's lots of ways to go about it, but the one that I started with and the one that continues to be the strongest performer for the blog is affiliate marketing.
Right. Very cool. And I want to segue a little bit more into kind of what's happened since you decided to kind of go full time. You mentioned YouTube and I mean, you do have an email list. So how did things change once you went full time, and have you gone into other forms of content? Do you do YouTube? Are you on Instagram? Are you using other forms of social media now?
I am. I ventured into Facebook, paid advertising. So that was kind of new. I mean, that allowed us to grow the revenue, but then, you know, that increase costs as well.
Right.
So, you know, I'm more about scaling right now than, you know, at first I was doing everything and the margins were, you know, sky high because I was hustling, you know, I was creating everything myself. I was doing the pin. I was managing the social media myself and pinning doing all the things, but now I'm focused more on scaling, the revenue and the site visitors, trying to become this is very ambitious, but, you know, kind of like a household name brand. Right. So now, right, I'm about building the brand. I'm going to do a website redesign this year and put some cool calculators on there. So it's more about scaling and more about growing the brand rather than just trying to extract every dollar that I can out of the company. So I'm reinvesting a lot of the profits into graphic design, into YouTube. I have a great person creating YouTube videos for me based on blog posts. Let's see what else. Facebook ads. Gonna start getting into Google AdWords this month or next month.
I brought right. And what are the ads focused on? Are you just driving traffic to certain blog posts or
yes,
email capture or both?
Yeah. So I'm just driving traffic to highly monetized blog posts. So blog posts that have a lot of affiliate links. And in that process, I might get email captures as well, but you know, that's kind of just gravy if the ad spend is profitable, right? If I put like $500 into an ad campaign to a certain blog post and I make, you know, $600 from that traffic, then, you know, it's profitable. And plus they'll get the email addresses on the back end, and plus the brand recognition, just from putting the ad in front of so many people. So, I'm driving traffic, essentially to blog posts. If I had my own product, like, you know, maybe a financial course or something like that, you know, then probably email signups would be, you know, something I would drive traffic specifically to. But in my instance right now, just the monetization strategy is affiliate marketing. And so the more people I can get on my blog post to click to the affiliate links, you know, the more money I make. And that's just where I'm at right now.
Right. Have you given any thought into creating digital products like a course or an ebook or anything like that? Because it seems like it would fit pretty well, especially because you already have so much content. You know, you're obviously an expert in the field. And, you know, with your own products, obviously the margins would be pretty nice, especially digital products.
I have thought about that. I have done that with a blogging course for my other site, bloggingdoneright.com. But for Money Done Right, my goal is to really be at the level of these large financial publishers who generally give away all their information for free.
Right.
So, you know, here in the US, there's sites called the Penny Hoarder and Nerd Wallet and you know, these large financial publications, right? And they're churning out lots of content every day. And it's, you know, it's not like they have like a paid product or a paid membership or anything like that. So at least right now, that's what I aspire to being just a, you know, I would call it a publisher. And yeah, and that does, you know, having that kind of a course type of thing, it doesn't really fit in with that goal, at least not right now. Also in the space, in the financial media space, I noticed that a lot of courses and things like that are very personality driven.
Interesting.
You know, like you might have, you know, financial gurus there, but like in the United States, we have people like this guy's name's Dave Ramsey, and mm-hmm. this other lady is her name's Suze Orman, and kind of these, you know, they have courses, right? And products and things like that. And it's a very personality driven brand. My brand, Money Done Right, it's not very personality driven. I mean, it was at first, right? When I was sharing my story, and a lot of the posts were, you know, kind of about my story, but now somewhere along the line, you know, I took my face off the homepage, you know, just kind of little things to now it's right. At the point where I'm trying to grow a brand around Money Done Right rather than Logan Alec as a person. So it's different from my other site, bloggingdoneright.com, where me and my wife and I are just right smack dab on the homepage. Hey, this is how we started a blog, blah, 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 blah. You know, but so that's a little different, right? And I do have a course for that. A digital product. I just find that, you know, when it comes to digital products and things like that, to have success early on with it, oftentimes there's a personality behind it. I mean, you look at the big names selling courses and things like that, or products like these Ty Lopez. It's very personality driven, and right. That's just not where the Money Done Right brand is right now.
Right. Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And kind of what I've noticed over even just the span of the episode is that it sounds like your decisions, whether they be business, content, kind of just whatever, are calculated, and you kind of have this goal that you're looking to achieve, and that changes over time, right? You said at first it was more personality driven. You were using social media to drive traffic. Now you've kind of shifted. You want to build a brand. You want to get more exposure. So it sounds like some of the keys have been obviously putting out great content in social and having a clear vision and making sure that all of your actions kind of fit within that vision, which is an awesome approach. Do you have, so let's say we have some listeners who have a niche in mind or they're like you, or they like what you were a few years ago, which is they're working a 9-to-5 job. Maybe they're passionate about a certain topic or an expert in a certain topic, and they think they can kind of implement this sort of plan. Do you have like two or three tips you would give to someone who might have a niche ready to go. They've never run a blog, and they just need a few tips to kind of get started.
The first thing I would say is make sure that other people are making money with that niche. Competition is a good thing, right? If somebody else is making money with a, let me think of a random niche. I don't know, a ceramics blog. I don't know. Like if there are other bloggers out there making, and you can see on their site, right? Look on their site, see if there's, you know, just Google ceramics blog, right? And see what comes up. And if these folks that you see on their blog posts, they have affiliate links. If you see some, you know, display ads and they're nice looking display ads, you know, and they might have a product as well. And, you know, if they have regularly updated content, right, you know, that those are indicators that this is a worthwhile venture for the blog owner and presumably making money from it. So, that, you know, that's the first thing I tell my students in my blogging course is picking a niche, right? You might have an idea and you might be so stoked about, I don't know, 13th century religious art or something like that, right? But then you haven't got to look. Like, okay, yeah, you might put your heart and soul into this and create some amazing content around it, but are there really enough people out there? Are there other people doing this and making money from it? So, you know, that's the first thing I would say is you know, just Google. Use search engines to kind of see if other people are making money, you know, in that niche. Second thing to think about is, you know, how can you be distinct? How can you be different? And obviously the easiest way to do that is just to be you and to, you know, tell your own story of how you got into, you know, whatever it is you're writing about. Because, you know, if you try to just go straight in with the brand perspective, kind of personality distant from it, like I did with my original blog, Millennial Money Club, which was just kind of this, you know, faceless financial publication, but it didn't even look that great. It didn't look super professional. Like these larger publications, I mean, you know, people will be more forgiving of that. You don't have, you know, your site doesn't look perfect, or, you know, your graphics aren't, you know, grade A, right? They feel that they connect with you as a person. I think that's really essential early on. Maybe later on when you scale and, you know, you're running ads and things like that, you can think about transitioning to a more, quote unquote corporate brand, but at least at the beginning, think about how you can be different. And the easiest way that a lot of people distinguish themselves is just by telling their own story, because, you know, we're all different people.
Right. Yeah. Those are really good steps. Logan, last question. Do you have any tips for people who aren't inclined maybe in their writing as much? So maybe they want to create some sort of online or passive income, but blogging might not be the best route just because, you know, like I said, they're just not great at writing long form blog posts or just writing in general.
Well, you gotta play to your strengths. I mean, you know, my strength is not video and things like that. And so, you know, I didn't start with that. I started with writing, and then eventually I was able to hire, you know, someone to create YouTube videos for me who is very strong at that. So, you know, I think if someone's not the best at writing, they're going to have a hard go at it. If they're focused on starting a blog, it'll be kind of the proverbial round peg in a square hole, or maybe I got that backwards, but you know, it's going to be a rough go. So, you know, play to your strengths. If video is your strength, then, you know, run with it. Like, and you know, as you grow that brand and, you know, hopefully your business will grow to the point where you can, okay, now you can get into written media with, you know, a blog and, you know, things like that. So, there's so many ways to make money online. You know, my way was through blogging, but that's not the only way.
Right. Yeah. It makes a ton of sense. Awesome, Logan. This has been really, really insightful. A lot of practical stuff in here. We've mentioned the blog a few times, but if you want to plug the website, the multiple websites or YouTube channels, kind of where can people find you if they want more?
Yeah. So, you can find me on moneydoneright.com, or you can just Google Money Done Right and it'll come up. That is the personal finance website that got this whole journey started for me. We serve practical, actionable advice on how to how to make more money, save more money, and you know, once you have that money, how to invest it wisely. My other site is a newer site. It's called bloggingdoneright.com. So this is for people who would like to create their own money-making blogs. I have a free 5-day blogging e-course you can sign up for right there on the on bloggingdoneright.com, and I'll walk you through how to set up your own blog.
Awesome. That sounds great. We'll have links to all of those in the description. Logan, thanks again for coming on. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, of course, Josh. It was a pleasure.
Awesome. All the best. Hey everyone, Josh checking in just one more time. Wanted to say thanks a lot for listening to the episode. Hope you got a lot of value out of it. And I wanted to see if you're interested in joining my email list. The link will be in the description of whatever podcast platform you're listening to this episode on, whether it be iTunes or Google Play or whatever. And what I do is I send out 3 emails a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, usually in the morning. And they're pretty short, usually around 300-400 words. And what I'm doing is sharing some extra thoughts, insights, ideas, struggles, lessons I've learned, because I am running my own service business too, and I love to share my thoughts, opinions, and just want to add some more value right to your inbox every week. So if you're interested, take a look at the sign up link in the podcast description on whatever you're listening this to on, and I hope to see you there, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Take care.